on the level that you are today, and I'm a lot taller than pastors, so I can accomplish this here, okay? That's what he told me before we got started, you know. Some of us have imperfections in other ways. I know I'm bald as a cue ball. Your pianist is a very handsome fellow, besides being a very good pianist. Appreciate his talents. I hope you're excited about this week. Hope you're prayed up. Does anybody remember me being here before? When was I here, brother? Do you remember when that was? That was back when David Dirsch was ordained. Does anybody remember David Dirsch? David Dirsch was one of my teenagers in Muncie, Indiana, when I was a layman at Maynard Brothers Fanatical Ford Sales in Dunkirk, Indiana. And I came up here for David's ordination, and Tamar, his sister, and I, we sang a duet. And that was many, many moons ago, people, as you all know. But it's great to be back here. Enjoy doing what I do, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do in our midst. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to give my personal testimony here this morning. And in this passage, I'm going to show you three things that I found every human being I ever have met and will meet, they're looking for these three things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, pastors prayed sufficiently. Let's just dive right into the passage here this morning. Look down with me, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, where it says this. Rejoice in the Lord as long as your husband's not a couch potato, your wife's not an egg, and your kids aren't rebellious. And again, I say rejoice. Is that found in your Bible? That's the way we treat this very simple command of God of rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, what's the word, folks? Say it with me. Rejoice. Now, folks, we don't base this joy business on circumstances, whether you have money or have no money, whether you feel good or don't feel good. No, if we're going to be faithful, folks, we practice this very wonderful commandment of God. And folks need to hear this. Folks need to see this through our lives, folks. This is what people are after, and this is a testimony opportunity, and let's categorize this first verse as joy. Let me show you the second thing down in verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through a new house." If that lazy couch potato get a second, third job, we could have houses like, of course, around this area, you need to have five jobs to afford a house. But folks, listen, things will never bring peace. First of all, you need to make peace with God. How do you do that? By receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But once you get your heart and mind in Christ on a consistent, continual basis, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what the verse is teaching. Look back at verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds," only one way, folks, "through Christ Jesus." What do we have? We have joy. We have peace. Now look at verse 11. Paul says here in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Folks, contentment is not natural to this flesh we're parked in. By nature, we're all a bunch of gum bumpers. Do y'all know what I mean by that? Nyanyers, complainers. It's too hot in the church. It's too cold in the church. You know, preacher preaches too long. Preacher preaches too short. That'll never happen. But, you know, listen, folks, by nature, again, we're not a content people. But here's the exciting part. By the power of God's word, the power of God's working, I don't care what your circumstances, situations may be, you can, by God's wherewithal, truly be content. Joy, peace, and contentment. Now, I'm going to show you here further in the Word of God how this can be not only understood, but applied to your heart. But first of all, let me tell you how the world says these things will come about. And folks, this is a lie straight from the pit of hell. The world says if you have the right things, you run with the right crowd, involved with the right activities, you'll be filled with joy, peace, and contentment. Let's see what God says through His blessed Bible. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. Let me give you several verses here, starting in verse 5. It says here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Now, underscore this phrase, "The Lord is at hand." And would you write something by that? "The Lord is at hand for me." Now, folks, here in context, it's talking about the Lord's at hand to return at any moment. Aren't you excited about that? Wouldn't it be exciting right in the midst of this Sunday school hour to hear the trumpet sound? We're taken to meet Jesus in the air. That would be rather thrilling, to say the least. But, folks, the Lord's at hand also for many aspects and parts of your life if you'll just be alert to His presence. The Lord's at hand to save your soul. The Lord's at hand, once you're saved, to strengthen you, sustain you, then send you forth in faithful service to bring glory and honor to His name. The Lord is not just at hand for the pastor, not just at hand for the evangelist. No, quit sucking your thumb. Quit studying the top of your shoes. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to use you just as much as anybody else. The Lord is at hand for you. Then look on down in this passage in verse 6. Talk about an all-encompassing verse as far as your testimony and life is concerned. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. And please circle, underscore, and highlight the word everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with the right spirit. And folks, I think that's how we mess up the program, don't you? Mechanically, academically, man, we're astute with all kinds of training and understanding concerning the Word of God, but we mess it all up with the wrong spirit. We've got to have a spirit of gratefulness continually set forth through our lives. And folks, also a part of that would be this rejoice in the Lord always business. But look at it. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then that peace verse, look down at verse 8. You want to straighten out the cobwebs of an unfaithful testimony? You want to think right so you can do right? Well, again, folks, follow what God says is His instruction, His direction, His directives as far as your testimony is concerned. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and you feel like it, is that in your perversion version? Is it there? No, folks. God says, think this way. Think on these things. I'm telling you what, people, if you apply this verse to your life, your choosing of life, you're going to have a God-honoring testimony. Because you won't watch that. You won't listen to that if it goes contrary to that which pleases and honors God. Think on these things, or very simply, think this way. Then down in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word, people? What's the next word? Let me hear a little louder. Do. Is the problem we don't know what's right? That's not my problem. I know a lot of things, folks. My problem is gaining victory with this flesh I'm parked in and doing what I know pleases and honors the name of Jesus. And guess what? That's your problem, too. I don't care how wowing you are in your academic understanding of biblical truth. It's not, again, knowing, folks, that's the difficult part. It's being a doer of the blessed Word of God. Let me read it again. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, say it again with me, folks, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So what do we have? We have joy, we have peace, we have contentment. Everybody I know, every place I go, folks, folks are looking for these three things. And growing up, folks, it was no different for me. Now, I grew up in Indiana. I'm a Hoosier, okay? I'm still excited that Michigan won yesterday. For Michigan State fans, I feel sorry for you. I'll be praying for you. They were pounded yesterday as far as football's concerned. But you know what, folks? That stuff doesn't matter really in comparison to what matters in Christ Jesus. Those are things that are going to pass away. But you know, growing up, folks, I didn't know the difference. I wasn't saved. I was churched growing up. I believed the Bible to be the Word of God. You know, I never doubted that Jesus came down from heaven. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. But it was all out here for me. I didn't know how to have that personal, biblical, no-so relationship in Christ. So what did I do in a natural choice of life and living? Well, I tried to do it the devil's way. Right things, right people, right activity. Something happened back in 1971 besides me graduating from high school. That was an historic, hysterical event. But something very life-changing to this world took place in 1971. Does anybody know what happened historically? Now, don't get too serious on this, okay? What happened that just changed the face of America and the world that we're parked in, folks? Let me give you a hint. You ready? Who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E. Don't make me sing the whole song. Talk to me, people. What is it? Yeah, Disney World started. And back in 1971, guys I graduated with, people from Dunkirk, Indiana, decided they wanted to work for Walt Disney World. Well, what happened, folks? Five of us guys were going to head down to Disney World. Guess who ended up going by himself? I did. I go down to Orlando, Florida, and I remember like it was yesterday. I walked into the employment agency of this place, and what happened, they were ready to open the gates. And I said, okay, here I am to bless you with my presence and make Disney World successful. And she says, well, let me see what's left. We don't have many other opportunities. She said, would you mind doing trash pickup? Don't you know who I am? I'm Mike Maynard the Great. I didn't come down here to pick up a bunch of stinking trash. And I walked out of the place. And she should have let me go, but she came after me and she said, let me look deeper in the stack. Long story short, I ended up working on Main Street USA, those big double-decker omnibuses, the trolley car, the little antique cars and parades and stuff. I mean, folks, it was the place to be. Right people, right activities, all kinds of movie stars. He said, well, who'd you meet, Brother Maynard? I got to kind of say hi and be with Julie Andrews. The hills are alive. Are you, and you know Mary Poppins? Are you with me? Girls, come on, talk to me. You got me there? Okay. Yeah, Julie Andrews, got to say hi to her. Rock Hudson was down there. Stayed away from that guy as much as I possibly could. There was probably the two most exciting folks that I ran into as far as personal heroes. Arthur Fiedler and the World Symphony Orchestra was playing up the castle. All these Disney stars are all over the place. The first guy was Fred McMurray. Does anybody know who that is? What a huge, gracious man. That just gave me goosebump introduction opportunities. And then the second guy really rang my bell. Now remember, I'm lost. I'm 18 years old, folks. I'm just unbelievably enamored by the world. Well, it was this guy. Daniel Boone was a man. What a big man. What a Boone. What a doer. Yeah, Fess Parker. Yeah, coonskin cap. I mean, I thought this was so exciting. I could hardly stand it, folks. But you know what? It didn't do for me what I thought it was supposed to do for me. You know, I'm away from these parents that stifled all my fun and creativity of life as a teenager. I'm on my own. I'm a party animal, flesh feeding. Here I come. But if all those things bring joy, peace, contentment, how come I'm more empty than less? How come I'm not filled up? Because folks catch on to the program. The only way you fill the void, the only way joy, peace, contentment comes is when the heart and mind are in Christ Jesus. But no one told me that at that point. Well, I worked at Disney for 7 months. Now, you know, I gave all kinds of excuses on why I left Disney. But you know why I left? You girls are going to love me for this. You know why I left Disney? I missed my mommy, okay? That's the only reason I left. Listen, today I am a mama's boy. I'll call my mom every day if I get an opportunity. You know, she's 112 now, but I love my mama, and I love talking to her anytime I can. My dad's okay, but I love my mama, okay? And I went back home to Dunkirk, Indiana. Now, people, let me tell you, Dunkirk is a place you want to be from. Are you all with me on that? Pastor understands. It's a place you want to be from, not be. So I wanted to get out of there as soon as I possibly could. Well, the devil set me up. You know, I had an opportunity just about that quick. A friend of mine from DePaul University gives me a call and says, Mike, we need a guitar player and a counselor at this exclusive boys camp in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Now, folks, it's not a Christian camp. I mean, you got Chautauqua over here close to Minneapolis. You got Northland on the other side of the state. You get Camp Joy down here. But stuck up here in about the middle of the T is this worldly boys camp. Now, folks, exclusive rich boys camp. We had mafia kids coming from Chicago, little Luigi, Franconi, Macaroni, Minestrone. All these Eno people were coming up. Kids in stretch limos, well-upholstered children coming to be a part of the... We're coming up to this camp. And you know what, folks? We didn't just have them for a week. We had these brats, and believe me, they were brats, for the entire summer. Now, playing guitar and singing, folks, that was kind of a sideline thing, but it became more and more important. I started writing camp songs. I started doing the campfires. I started doing the fun times, and I got this brilliant idea. If I'm going to fill this void that's in my life, I'm going to see my name up in lights. I'm going to be a recording artist, going to be a movie star. I'm going to be climbing the ladder as far as entertainment's concerned. What'd you do next? Well, I went to fulfill that want to of mind and heart. I go back to Dunkirk, I kiss my mommy. Y'all with me on that? I got to see mama. And then I went all the way back to Walt Disney World, and I started working at the Fort Wilderness Campground. Now, folks, Magic Kingdom, nice place. Eventually, all these Epcot and all that stuff. But they have an amusement park that most people don't know of. It's a campground like you've never seen a campground. Well, I helped start that. And we started these campfire sing-along programs. Now, it wasn't a real overly professional thing, but it was a start as far as getting my foot in the door. I had this partner, folks. He was ancient. I can't understand how the guy could function every day. You know how old this guy was? Now, remember, I'm 19 at this point. Guess how old this guy was? 40 years old. Now, people, 80 looks good to me now. Are you all with me? Are you looking at me? But when you're 18 years old, anybody past 25, they look like they got one foot in the grave. You know, how again can they function in life and living? Well, what happened? We started getting noticed by people at Disney. They started giving us more opportunities as far as conventions and different opportunities of singing and doing that sort of thing. Well, you know what? It was kind of good. But again, it wasn't doing for me what I thought it was supposed to do. What happens next is this. Everybody at Disney's bumping their gums about working at Disney and the lack of satisfaction and all. And I really was no different. But they were talking about working on a cruise ship or Love Boat. You didn't. Yeah, I did. You know, let me say this for the young people here, and we have many young people here, especially the teenage group over here at this side. I appreciate you folks coming into our class here today. My eyes aren't as good as they used to. Am I telling the truth over there? Come on. Yeah, they're nodding their head. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, all right. But what happened, folks, the devil will set you up. Y'all listen to me. Kids, don't miss this. If you want to bypass blessedness found in Christ, you truly want to miss joy, peace, and contentment, the devil's going to help you every step of the way. The devil wants to rip you off and keep you from all the goodness and glory that's found in Christ Jesus. Don't be that stupid. Don't be that foolish to look any place other than to Jesus as not only the author, but the finisher of your faith. And the devil set me up, folks. While I was working at Disney, I ran into this guy who set me up with the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line organization that went from Miami, Florida, all the way to Caracas, Venezuela, and they go around the world with their cruise ship opportunities. But I worked on the Nordic Prince. Now, folks, what an unbelievable cherry job of nothing but party time that I've ever experienced in my life. My job, I was a sports director / entertainer host on this cruise ship. I did go from Miami all the way to South America. Every 2 weeks, folks, I eat with the passengers. I party with the passengers. My main responsibility was to help these people on the cruise ship have the best flesh-feeding time they've ever had in their life. Now, folks, with all that sin, all that so-called right people, right activity, right thing, you know what? The hole got bigger in my heart instead of more filled and complete. And it didn't do for me what I thought it was supposed to do. Well, after working on that 6 2-week cruise, I ended up moving back to Orlando, Florida. There was this blonde girl back in Orlando. My wife's not here yet. She'll be here for the service. But she was an ugly woman. Can y'all with me? Remember, you tell my wife. I said she was an ugly. She was a looker, okay? But there was this girl back in Orlando, Florida, that got in a car wreck and called me to be Florence Nightingale, you know, help her nurse back the health and all this stuff. So I leave the cruise ship. I move back to Orlando. Folks, I am making big bucks, but I'm spending it as fast as I can get it. So I had to get a job picking and grinning somewhere. I ended up working at a steak and ale restaurant. Y'all know they've been up around the Detroit area, closed a lot of them down. But, you know, most of the time you just have a waiting room. You have the steak place, and then there you go. You're out the door. In this particular steak and ale in Orlando, Florida, they had entertainment for cocktail hour. And also for the evening hours, I played the cocktail hour, sitting on a barroom stool. I had hair back then. Oh, what a looker. You know, I was a slim, trim, lean, mean, fighting machine people, and I thought my stuff was better than anybody else's on the face of the earth. And I put it out there, folks, in a very confident, bold, arrogant fashion, even though I was insecure as the day is long. But what happened, folks, I started getting some notice from Holiday Inn. They made this big old write-up in the paper. Oh, come and see the folk singer folks are talking about. Disney came back to me and said, how do we let you go? And talk about a flattering thing. Well, something happened in this steak and ale restaurant that changed my family as well as my life for all eternity. My nerdy little brother went to church camp. Now, let me ask the kids a question. Aren't all younger brothers and sisters nerds? Aren't they? Isn't that just a known fact of life? You may be that younger brother and sister, even though you're 85 years old, but you're still a nerd in your older brother's sight. That's just the way it works. I am a major nerd in my older... That's my dub title for the rest of my life. Well, anyway, my nerdy little brother went off to church camp. And my nerdy little brother had something happen that never happened to me. What's that? He got saved. In this liberal, non-Bible preaching camp. someone confronted my brother and asked him this very important question. Doug, do you know for sure if you died where you'd spend eternity? Well, Doug gave the answer I would have given. Well, I think so. Well, I hope so. And this lady in this non-Bible preaching camp, remember, said, would you like to know so? Well, Doug said, well, if you can know so, doesn't everybody want that? You'd think so, wouldn't you? And right there at the age of 15, my brother turned from his sin and by faith received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, Doug comes home from church camp. What happens? Well, he comes home to dear old dad. What's my dear old dad like? My dad is a hoot, folks. My dad makes me look quiet. You want me to scare you people? I'm the quietest one in my family. Does that scare you? Are y'all with me on that? Yeah. And what happens? He comes home to dad, a cussing, crooked, cheating car dealer. Are there any other kind people? Talk to me here. Well, what happened? Are there any car dealers in the church, Pastor? Woo, it's a sanctified church. Well, what happened? What happened was he comes home to dad. Now, we had a Ford dealership in Dunkirk. He comes home and tells dad that he accepted Jesus as personal Savior. You know what, folks? That was an important thing for my brother to do. But that wasn't the greatest impact to my dad's life. And listen carefully, young and not so young. Not only did my brother tell my dad he was saved, are you ready? My brother showed my dad he was saved. You know, we say we're burdened for neighbors and family members and all this stuff, and we tell them we're a Christian, but we don't live that kind of test. Do you hear me, teenager? We tell them we're biblically born again, we're on our way to heaven for all eternity, but we don't show a Christ-like, God-honoring, biblical representation through who we are and what we do. How hypocritical. And how damaging, folks, to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, my brother was a brain-dead teenager, like all teenagers are brain-dead, okay? We just know that as... Sorry. We know that as... I mean, we were there, people. It's just a fact of life. And it's scary when a teenager's brain finally starts working and they try to use it. Are y'all with me on that? That's how frightening life is from a parent's perspective. But my brother was not perfect. My brother was born again. And through my brother's testimony, oh, listen to this one, and a faithful businessman. You laymen, don't ruin your ministry by going into the ministry. You all with me? You know what I stand by me? What I mean by that? He saw it down at college. I saw it at college. Guys who thought the ultimate of serving God was to surrender to full-time Christian service. Now, if God calls you, that is the ultimate for your life. But how many guys came to Bob Jones who ruined their great ministry all in the name of going into the ministry? As a layman, you are a vital aspect of this local church, let alone the cause of Christ. You're seeing souls saved. You're impacting hearts for all eternity. Don't mess up where God has you to do what He would have done. My dad was used greatly as a layman in this car dealership. More people were one at my dad's car dealership than all people in every church in the whole county and beyond, folks. Don't mess up your ministry by going into full-time ministry as such. Now, if God calls you, there's nothing better. No greater call upon your life. You know, but, you know, be faithful where God has placed you. Well, what happened? My dad, through this businessman, was confronted concerning his relationship with God. Now, listen to what this guy said. I love this man to this day. What an impacting part of my dad's life in Christ. He said, Bobby, my dad, great car dealer name, Bobby Baby. That's what they called him. You come buy a car off of Bobby. My dad was the stereotype, just picturesque car dealing baloney breath. That's my dad. He was just unbelievable. And he can still sell you anything at any time, no matter what the product may be. But here's what happened. He said, Bobby, you're a good man. You've got a wonderful business, a nice home. You've got good kids. But he said, here's the sad thing concerning your relationship with your children. Those kids idolize you. They worship you. They'll follow you wherever you go. And it's sad to think those kids are going to follow you straight into hell. Whoa. You know, that shook my dad's tree. And dad got thinking about that, how he was, again, directing them away from God instead of to the will and working of God through the Word of God. And my dad, at the age of 42, the cussing, crooked, cheating car dealer, knelt down in our family room and was gloriously, biblically born again. Could I have an amen, please? Amen. Now, folks, again, my dad, as a baloney breath, told people what they wanted to hear. Now, as a believer in Christ, he's very busy telling people what they needed to hear. It was amazing. Now, folks, this is a town of about 3,000 people, okay? The coffee shop was the main hub of gossip and conversation activity. So my dad would go up to the coffee shop where he was a hero. Now he's a pain. He'd go up there and he'd start talking about, you talk about clearing out a coffee shop real quick. He'd go in there and start talking about Jesus. It's like exit stage left even. I mean, people are, oh man, they're out of there. Like Speedy Gonzales. Can you tell I grew up watching a lot of cartoons? Yeah, it comes out in my preaching. But what happened, folks, Dad didn't quit. He got a hold of a Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth book. Have you ever seen those things? They're a hoot. I mean, all these graphs and pictures about how the Bible's put together and how events are going to take place. He actually read it and studied it. He was in a Methodist church and actually started teaching it. Talk about scaring people half to death. He had this young adult Bible study, and folks started getting saved in this Methodist church. Well, where am I? I'm sitting on a barroom stool down in Orlando, Florida, blessing people with my musical presence, and Dad comes down, starts beating me to death with the Bible. You're going to hell. You need to be born again. I said, Dad, you're going through midlife crisis. You know, you've had the house, you've been around the world, now you got this crutch of religion. Oh, Dad, get off my back. Now, I didn't say that or he would have decked me in a very sanctified way, of course, but he'd still decked me. And Dad wasn't that sanctified at that point of life, okay? But what happened, Dad kept preaching. And I thought, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. Dad, while you were sitting at home smoking your cool cigarettes watching TV, you took us to church. I was the church kid. I love God. I believe the Bible says, Mike, that's not going to get you to heaven. You need to know Jesus Christ by faith as your personal Savior, or you're going to go to hell for all eternity. And I did that kind of deaf and dumb thing. I closed my ears. I said, Dad, you don't know. I know what the truth is. And Dad kept preaching. And I did what I was real good at. I took off running. Now, I'm in Orlando, Florida. Disney comes to me. Holiday Inn comes to me. And I took off by myself to get away from all the pressure, all the choices of life. What'd you do? Well, I went from having a 750 Honda, no helmet, baldness, hair flying through the wind, stupid choice. I went to a Malibu convertible. What a groovy machine it was. And then, you old hippies, you with me? And then I went to a hardtop Mustang to, again, preserve as much hair as possible. So I took this hardtop Mustang, took off across the United States all by myself, had a great time of fellowship, no argumentation, loved being with me. I went to New Orleans, I went to Carlsbad Canyon, I went down to San Diego, went up to L.A., went up to San Francisco, Twinkie capital of the world. I went all the way to Spokane, Washington, the World's Fair. Oh, that was fun. It was on the environment. Stayed about an hour. And then I left for a couple days. I went from Spokane, Washington to Buffalo, Wyoming. And now, folks, whoa. Answer this question. Why did I drive from Buffalo, Wyoming, through the night, through the day, to get to Dunkirk, Indiana? Does anybody know why? I miss my mommy. That's right. I went to see Mama. I did. I went home, and she was patting my balding brow. But I said, Mom, I got places to go and things to do. And I go back to Florida. And down in Florida, I started working for Holiday Inn. Now, folks, I wasn't cooking. I wasn't working the front desk. I was a lounge lizard. I was a guy who sat on a barroom stool with a bunch of drunks and tried to get them so drunk they'd spend more money and they could pay me big bucks. That's pretty much what I did. And I was picking and grinning. I was doing my thing. I went from Cocoa Beach. I'm over in Sarasota, Florida. I end up, now catch this. Talk about the devil giving you just a place to park without question of why am I here and what's this all about. I'm in the Florida Keys. Now, you have Key Largo, and it's probably all underwater by now. But here's Key Largo, and then there's Isla Mirada. I was on that second island working for a Holiday Inn. Now, it's a Howard Johnson now, if you ever go down to that area. There's an Outback, which I wish was there at the time. But I'm at this Holiday Inn. I've got my name in lights, people. Appearing nightly, Mike Maynard. Folks are coming down from Miami to hear me pick and grin and do my musical thing. The place is packed out all the time. I'm climbing the ladder. I am becoming successful. But I'm a miserable dog. I am so unbelievably empty, and I just can't figure out what's going on. Man, I've got the brass ring. I'm going the direction that everybody wishes they could go. I had an oceanfront efficiency. I had an ocean out here that was mine. I had the swamp back here. I had a pool I let the guests use every once in a while. I ate for free. I could drink myself drunk every day if I wanted to. I had the world the way the world says it needs to be done, but I was more empty instead of less. When will we catch on, people? The hole in our hearts, true joy, peace, contentment only comes one way. not to anything this world has to offer, but when the heart, the mind are in Christ. Well, Dad kept preaching and I kept running. In the girls, you're going to love this part. Matter of fact, you'll just want to go hug my wife when you see her, okay? There was this girl I ran into at the Steak and Ale restaurant that I eventually asked to marry me. And what happened, while I was in the Florida Keys, I dumped her. And here's what I told her. I said, you know what? I'm going to be a star. And you're not quite star material. Maybe someday, if you're lucky, I'll come back and bless you with my presence and marry you. But for the time being, go home to your mama. Now, folks, I said that real nice. I didn't do it real nice back then. And I was a major, capital J-E-R-K. I just hurt her. I broke her heart, stomped on it, threw it over the side of the fence and sent her home to her mama. And then I go on and I move to Miami, Florida. Now, folks, again, the devil will set you up. That's why you think everything's just going fine. Well, I'm not faithful to God. I'm not really a student of Scripture. I'm not doing the will and working of God. And everything's going well. No, the devil's just setting you up. But for sure, your sins will find you out. You're going to reap what you're sowing. If you're not sowing unto righteousness, you're going to reap the harvest of your flesh feeding and choosing of life. You've got to, again, understand, it only comes one way, folks. Joy, peace, contentment. When the heart and mind are in Christ. Well, I moved to Miami. I live in the maid's quarters of a big house on Coral Gables Golf Course, a rich Jewish area down in Miami. I live in this little beautiful little apartment here, and you know, I've got everything I need. I've got a pool out here. The main mansion's back here. Two guitar freaks in the Greenwich Village are living in the house there. And folks, I'm just in search mode. I went to Christian Science Reading Room. You know, there's nothing Christian or scientific to those places, but I didn't know any better. I'd sit around with drunks, folks, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians. We'd sit around for hours and talk about what? Sports? No. Talk about the weather? No. We talk about religion. You know, what do you think about going to heaven for all eternity? Let me tell you what my dad tells me. And we start talking about these things. But guess who gave me Scripture? Not those drunken bums that I was drinking with. No, my dad. He kept the truth coming and kept the truth coming and kept the truth coming. People, listen to me. Don't underestimate the power of God's Word. Keep the Word coming because it's the truth of God's Word that breaks people free from the bondage of their sin. Now, use your testimony, but memorize Scripture. Give substance to what your presentation's all about and keep the truth coming. That's what people need, and they need to hear that from you. Well, what happened? Dad kept preaching, and what was I good at? I was good at running, people. But one night, I decided I'd stop running. And in this maid's quarters of this big house on Coral Gables Golf Course, I decided I'd ruin my life and become a Jesus fanatic like my father said I needed to be. Y'all with me on this? So what I did, there's two twin beds here kind of coming out from the wall like this. And then it angles and there's a huge window. And folks, I tell you what, they were almost as big as these windows on the side. They were huge. It's a big place. And I'm facing, it's nighttime, the curtains are open. And I kneel down at this bed and I said something like this. Okay, God. Here I am. You're lucky to have me. I'm going to give you a break and become a, you know, Jesus fanatic like my father and ruin my life. Now, folks, is a person going to get saved with that kind of approach to the throne of God? No. What was I doing? What most people try to do. I was trying to con God. I was trying to cut a deal. Folks, God cannot be conned. God will not cut a deal. I don't care how much you present yourself in such a wowing verbiage presentation. God cannot be conned, coerced, or, again, cut a deal as far as your relationship with Him. It's God's way, period. You with me? But I wasn't smart enough spiritually to understand that. Now, here's God's wonderful timing, great sense of humor. I said, God, if I'm going to do this Jesus stuff, I need some kind of a sign. Now, this is very funny. Again, I'm facing this window. It's nighttime. About the time I said I need... Now, of course, I'm praying like this. You know, kind of unga-bunga-poo spooky stuff. I was scared to death. And I said, okay, God, now I need this sign. And about that time, the headlights of this vehicle came shining through the window. It hit me in the face, and I went, ah! I thought I got spiritized and zapped from above, brothers and sisters. I mean, it scared me to death. And I got up, and I started cussing. Now, all folks, you know, I remember, isn't it sad? how you remember all the words. Y'all with me on that? Kids, keep your brain and your mouth and your life pure. I tell you, the stuff doesn't go away. This old computer, it's amazing how it remembers all the junk and has such a difficult time remembering all the good stuff found in Christ Jesus. But folks, I cussed, I cried, and then I called. Is that a good alliterated outline there? Yeah, guess who I called? Who did I call? Who do you think? Nope. I shifted gears. I went to Dad. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, I think I'm going nuts. He said, probably. Yeah, you got to understand the humor of my family or the lack thereof. And you know, my dad preached to me, people. Kids, grow up, kids. Your mom and dad aren't preaching to you just to make you miserable. No, they're trying to help you be Christ-like. They may not know how to do it. They might not get it done in the exact way it should be done, but no one loves you like mom and dad. They may not know how to express it, but no one cares for you apart from Jesus as much as mom and dad cares for you. They may not know how to express it, but please give them a break. It's hard enough being a parent when kids are cooperating, but it's real difficult when they're bucking the system that God set forth as far as parents and children are concerned. Well, what happened after I called Dad, I was so relieved to hear him say these words, son, why don't you come on home? Now, girls, this will nauseate you. I know it will. I went back to Orlando, Florida. You know the girl that I dumped? The one I said, get out of my face. I'm going to be a star and you're not star material. I went back. Now, folks, listen. I have the gift of verbal presentation, okay? And I went back and I gave that woman such a line of baloney. She said, okay, I'll marry you. We went back to Dunkirk, Indiana. Now, folks, I tried to get a job playing and singing in every bar from Detroit to Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, everything was booked like a year in advance. I'm going to get married to this girl. I've got to again support my family. Guess where I ended up working? The most dreaded place on the face of the earth, Maynard Brothers Fanatical Ford Sales in Dunkirk, Indiana. Christian secretary, Christian washboy, Christians coming in the front door and outdoor, back door, front door, and oozing in through the cracks of the wall. Praise Jesus. Isn't God good? Made me want to throw up, I'll tell you right now. But you know what? I was a Christian. Wait, wake up here. How dare can you sleep when I'm this loud? I went to church all the time. I was in a Bible study. Folks, listen, I did youth rallies all over the state of Indiana. I was a counselor at a Methodist church camp. Lost! Lost as can be. I was doing all these rallies with these contemporary Christian artists and such all over the state of Indiana and beyond. Lost as lost can be. But you know what happened to me? I went to one too many meetings. You did what? I went to one too many meetings. I went to my grandma's Methodist church in Red Key, Indiana. You folks that came from that kind of background, do you remember these lay witness meetings they used to do? You know, I don't know if they still do them, but I believe folks that were truly saved tried to raise the dead. Do you remember that? Where these excited, saved folks went into these Methodist churches, tried to stir them up, get them going to get it right for Jesus. And I went to this meeting. They had time of testimony. Get a hold of this one. I stood up and I said, you people are going to hell for all eternity. You need to be born again. I was lost. You say, Brother Maynard, you should have gone to the altar. And got that. I went to the altar probably 9 times. But kids, hear this one, teenager. You know why I went to the altar? To get Dad off my back. To shut the preacher up. You know, I didn't really turn from my sin and by faith trust Christ as Savior. I just had an emotional experience when I went down to the altar during an invitation opportunity. Oh, folks, don't go there. Don't do that. Make sure it's sincere from the heart decision, no matter what that decision may be. Well, what happened after this meeting at this Methodist church, a lady came up to me, her and her husband directed these lay witness conferences and stuff, and she said, young man, you're exciting. I was kind of like, tell me something I don't already know and believe. She says, I hear you play guitar and sing. I said, yeah, I can get down and up again with the best of them. She said, one thing I wanted to ask you that I didn't quite hear in your time of testimony. So what's that? She said, when did you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Huh? Yeah, she didn't ask me if I was going to church. She didn't ask me if I loved God. She didn't ask me if I was busy for God. She said, when did you accept Jesus as your Savior? And folks, for the first time, Mike Maynard was speechless. I did not have an answer. So what did I do? What I was best at. I ran. The lady turned to talk to somebody. I grabbed my guitar. I grabbed my wife. We jumped in the car. I locked the door so that bad woman couldn't get me. I remember doing that. I really did. And I drove from Red Key, Indiana, 2 miles to Dunkirk, Indiana. My wife, who got saved as a junior in high school, Episcopalian, to a faithful friend who took her to a Young Life meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. My wife got saved as a junior. No one discipled her. She didn't know enough to stay away from a losing, loser, bozo brain like me. She goes to sleep, and folks, I'm going to hell for all eternity. Now, if one thing you've learned in this testimony, this is very obvious and clear. I liked me a lot. Y'all with me on that? Have you caught on to that? I thought my stuff was gooder than good and better than best. And folks, listen, at that point, I realized Mike Maynard the Great was going to hell for all eternity. Well, what'd you do? I crawled out of my bed. And I prayed a little different prayer than I prayed in Miami. Remember down here in Miami, looking up the window? Okay, God, here I am. You're lucky to have me. I didn't pray that then. You know what I prayed? Oh, God, I'm a sinner. God, please forgive me my sin. And folks, I remember this again like it was yesterday. I say, God, I don't understand why you died for me. And you know what, folks? I haven't figured that out yet. Have you? But aren't you glad he did? Because that night, when I, by faith, turned from my sin, opened my heart to the gracious, glorious working of God, it's not a guess, it's not a maybe. I know that Jesus Christ saved my worthless, no good hide. It's not a guessing game, folks. I know that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Well, the guitar thing just went presto changeo out of the life, right? No. Now, folks, the desire to be a star was still there because there was more Mike Maynard than Jesus as far as my life control is concerned. And what happened, and I've got a whole nother testimony aspect to this. 2 weeks after I was saved, I sang for Lawrence Welk. You what? Did you run the bubble machine? No. I really played guitar and sang with, you know, Bobby and Sissy were there and Myron Florin, the whole orchestra, the whole nine yards, folks. And again, the devil was trying to do what? Keep me away from faithfulness in Christ Jesus. So, folks, that's why it's so important. And I wish I had time to park on this, to not just know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but to practice it. Would you quote it with me, please? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Say it again. In all thy ways. Again, please. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And, folks, listen. God's looking to do that moment by moment, day by day, because you belong to Him. You're supposed to go where He wants you to go. You're supposed to do what He would have done. And no wonder you're not ending up where you should be to accomplish God's will and working through your life. You're running a show that belongs to Him. And I guarantee if you're in that mode of thinking, life choosing teen, are you listening? If you're in that mindset, there's no way, no how you have joy, peace, and contentment. Because your heart and mind are in you. Your heart and mind's in the world. You are a loser whether you think you're a loser or not. Because anybody's a loser apart from the will and working of God. Folks, oh, I have such a twofold heart burden as far as my testimony is concerned. And I'll say this and I'll be done. I'm assuming I need to be done by quarter after. Is that right? Be the first time I've ever been on time. Here's what happens. Burden number one is this. I believe a lot of people in churches like this. And folks, I go to the best churches in the world. Are you with me? And I believe a lot of people, I don't know the percentage. I'm not going to do like some of these brain dead evangelists. Well, I believe 75.3 people in fundamental churches are not biblically born again. How do they know that? Nobody knows that except God. But you know what? I think God's brokenhearted. Because we are so academically trained in our fundamental churches, sometimes we miss the simplicity found in Christ Jesus. We got all the head knowledge, but I don't think we have that heart relationship in Christ. That's why the fruit baskets are empty. That's where there's not a passion, a drive, a desire to do spiritual things because we profess to know Christ. But I believe a lot of people need to simply get saved and be biblically born again. How many? I don't know. But look your life over. There will be a difference in your life, and you will make a difference in the life before you if you're biblically born again. That's my first burden. I believe a lot of people who profess to know Jesus need to be biblically born again. Secondly, I believe far too many Christians, and folks, is this showing up live and in color? Too many Christians believe the lie of the devil. Right things, right people, right activities. That's the source of joy, peace, and contentment. Folks, read your Bible. Trust and obey God. No wonder your marriage is on the rocks. No wonder your kids are running away from the things of God instead of looking to serve and honor and glorify the name of Christ. They see such a hypocritical, unbiblical presentation through your life, and then you wonder why they're a mess. Because you're missing out on the joyful, faithful opportunity of setting forth Jesus through your heart and life and all you say and all you do. Folks, joy, peace, and contentment. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for me. God has that available for you and wants you to have that, so you'll set forth that kind of testimony through your heart and life that's found in Christ Jesus. So, folks, don't let it just be academic. Let it be applicable to who and what you are and set forth a testimony that truly brings glory and honor to Christ with an abundance, not a little bit, folks, but a blessed, abundant testimony of joy, peace, and contentment. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, I don't know the needs of folks when I come to do revival, but you know what? I have found that most of the time it's the same over and over again. People just start looking to the world and their flesh instead of staying focused on Jesus. Folks miss heaven for all eternity because they don't simply trust and obey God, receive Christ as Savior, then go forth to live the program that's so clearly set forth in the blessed Word of God. If that happens to be your dilemma, here's the choice you need to make. Turn your eyes, your heart away from what you think or feel, and by faith come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen to me loud and clear. I don't care what's coming up next. I know what needs to happen now. If you've never been biblically born again, Brother Maynard, you're in Sunday school. This is the hub of the assembly. Let me say it again. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you're coming here out of yes, dear, or mommy made me, you need to get saved. And today know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I know you're empty. I know there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no contentment. Settle the matter of your eternal destiny and come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. It's a matter of heaven and hell, folks. And you must be born again. Secondly, get your eyes back on Jesus, Christian. Get your eyes on, hey, it's not your wife's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not that miserable job you're stuck in. That's not why you're so discontent and your upper card of faithfulness turned over. It's because your eyes and heart and mind and life is focused on someone or something other than Jesus Christ, and you have believed the lies of the devil. Folks, joy, peace, and contentment only come away. It's when the heart and mind are in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this Sunday school hour. God, we just pray that you'll help us again to have understanding, Lord, that only you can bring. That, God, you'll awaken our minds and hearts to the wonderful truths of the Word of God. You'll help us to claim those truths, those promises as our very own. And, God, help us to proceed from this place with joy and thanksgiving, filled with the power of your working to present Jesus, Lord, in a biblical fashion. Lord, there's so much hypocrisy. So much inconsistency, and God, we know it's not your fault. Help us, God, to look unto you, get with the program, and set forth such an impacting testimony that people will so desire, so cry out to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Lord, it's going to be a wonderful time here in this revival opportunity that you've blessed us with. Help us to be faithful stewards, God, of what you're looking to bring our way even here this week. We praise you and thank you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want everybody to look up at the clock right now on the wall. Look up there. I'm about a minute early here, okay? Now, don't count on that for any other message, okay? But I want you to know I've got a minute to my credit right here, and I want you all to just appreciate that. Thanks, Pastor.